محمد آل بيت محمد صلى الله So, Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and thank you very much for coming. This is our first session of knowledge share. Basically, the idea is to develop networking and share the expertise of the brothers and sisters who come to the center. Because so many times it happens that people come, you know, they listen to lecture and then after dinner or before dinner, or you know, they just leave quietly. So basically, even if we are coming to center, we know core, you know, 10-15 people. So the newcomers or other people, you know, they don't get involved. So that is the idea. So if you think that you have area of expertise or something you can share, and not very complicated or not professionally oriented, something which everyone can benefit, you know, student, housewives, professionals. So please come and let me know, or Sister Zahra or Brother Amin Davar. So basically the format is that you will give us your proposal, and it has to be approved by Agha. And once Agha approves, inshallah, you can do presentation. Initially we are starting once a month. This program will be held Friday. Inshallah, hoping to build momentum on this. There are some forms, feedback form. Please give your feedback. And so, without taking much time, I request Brother Jameel to inshallah start the presentation. Say aloud, Salwar.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام
ورحمة الله. First of all, let me thank the organization and the program committee for giving me the opportunity. I cannot claim expertise on the subject, but inshallah I can share some of the concepts and tools that have helped me, and hopefully it will help other people. So the subject of discussion today is time management. So first thing, let's understand the topic itself and what it means. So the question is, can time be managed? Now, time is an unmanageable resource that flows at its own pace. You can neither slow it down nor can you make it go any faster. Stop it. So what exactly does it mean to say manage time? So I would claim that no, time cannot be managed, and no, this is not the end of my lecture either. So, so the term time management itself is misleading. What I would say is the following. It's management of our activities, so to make sure that we accomplish whatever we want to accomplish in the given or allocated time. In the priority that it deserves. So I looked up, you know, what does time management mean, and I went to the internet and searched for some definitions, and I'm putting here an excerpt I took from Wikipedia, right? So if you look at it, you know, it's a pretty long-winded definition. It talks about skills, tools, techniques, it talks about activities, it talks about methods, etc., etc. But let's try to clear it down and see what do you get, right? So if you look at the keywords, what are they talking about? Talking about management, talking about planning, talking about goal setting, talking about organization, scheduling, prioritization, and then all this is encompassed in a system which consists of processes, tools, and techniques, right? Now, all this stuff is not really specific to time management, it's specific to any system, right? So, if you're trying to accomplish something, it involves a lot of these things. So, essentially, when you're trying to manage ourselves given the allocated time, and unfortunately we only have 24 hours in a day and 365 days in a year, and we have a whole bunch of things to accomplish. So how do we go about doing this? So one way to look at it is in a couple of dimensions, and we can do it in many different ways, but this is the way I've chosen to put our activities in two dimensions. The one dimension is the dimension of urgency. Something needs to be done sooner rather than later. It's more urgent versus less urgent. The other dimension is one of importance. Something is more important, something is less important. So if you look at this four quadrants, let's look at the first quadrant. It's not important, but it's urgent. Now, this is actually a deception. Something that is not important cannot be urgent, right? And you need to recognize these and understand that it's an area that you want to stay away from. The second is not important, but it's not urgent. So why would you ever do it? It's wasteful, right? So you want to avoid the urgent and not important, and you want to eliminate the not important and not urgent, right? The third is important and urgent. Now, there are times when you end up in that situation because it could be unanticipated, it could be things that, you know, just happened around you, something has changed, you know, you got stuck in the traffic, you got, you know, your flight got canceled, whatever. Something that needs to be urgently taken care of because it's important. So we have to manage it, and the trick is to minimize that as well, right, to the extent possible. Finally, you want to focus on this area, which is something which is neither urgent, it's not urgent, but it's important, right? And the key is if you plan, plan correctly, then we can do things which are important at our own pace as opposed to letting the time get in front of us. So given that, you know, this is what I would focus on in the rest of my talk. So how do we get here? How do we get to this area of leadership and focus? So to understand how do we get there, we have to understand how we end up not going there, what comes in our way, what comes to block us from moving in that direction. So the first is lack of planning. Many times things accumulate on our plate. You know, so yeah, now get to it one of these days. Or things that we know needs to be done, but we either hope that it goes away, or you know, we let it get to the urgency stage before we attempt to do it. So clearly, if we don't plan, then we don't control what we need to do. That thing controls us, and we want to avoid it. The second thing is incorrect prioritization, right? Sometimes the second thing that blocks us is incorrect prioritization. You know, we talked about this notion of aham and muhim, right? This is what exactly that is. We end up doing something that's less important or less urgent before we do the things that are more important or more urgent. And the third is procrastination. I mean, you know, sometimes we are just plain lazy. We put things off. And when we put things off, they don't, if they're important, they don't go away. If it's unimportant, great, we can get rid of it. But procrastination is our enemy, oftentimes. So, the myth of too many priorities. What ends up happening is things take on a life of its own, where something becomes important but it's not. Something becomes critical but it's really not. And I remember it's more of a joke where a guy comes home and he's talking to his wife about the thing that not clean or something, it's because well, it's going to get dirty again tomorrow. So that's just a more important thing, so like, give me some rest. So are there too many critical things? And if there are, then we really need to understand which are really critical and which are not. So proper prioritization is important. We talked about this. Often it's we get into situations where things may not be important, things may not be critical, things may not be urgent, but we end up doing it because we can't say no. Right? Somebody asked us to do it, and you know, how do I say no? He's my buddy, or he's my relative, or whatever it is. Later on, I'll share a quote, which is pretty interesting. So, learn to say no. Sometimes it's hard, and the thing I've learned is that the easiest time to say no is the first time. Because the first time you say yes, second time becomes a little bit more difficult to say no because you've said it differently. The third time becomes almost impossible. So, you know, a couple of things that problems keep you use with it. In this context, I also recall a khutbah of Imam Ali. It's a pretty long khutbah, but I picked out a couple of relevant excerpts from it. And he talks about essentially prioritization. He says, see what you would like to be doing when death comes to you. And do it now, for you cannot be sure that you will not die soon. So think of a moment that is the only moment you have, and after that you're gone. In that moment, define that moment to be however long or short it may be, but it is long enough that you can do one thing. So decide what is that one thing you want to do. And the moment he says, do it now, because you don't know when that moment is for you. But then he says, you do not know when this thing will come upon you, but what stops you from preparing for it before it takes you to surprise. So this is ultimate prioritization, right? And in that context, I would ask the following question of you, right? Let me take a little bit of digression. This thing is something that people don't take seriously. Often, when something comes up again, you know, it becomes urgent, we deal with it. Many people, just before they're about to go for Hajj, say, oh, how about it more earlier? But do this. The reason is, and I recall the incident that happened last year when somebody in our community, you know, met with an unfortunate accident. When something like that happens, if you don't have a will, guess who controls what happens to you, right? Now, your material possessions are the least of the problem because you're gone anyway, right? Like what happened to your children? Right? Who becomes the guardian of the children? Who takes care of the children? Would they end up in a foster home somewhere in a non-Muslim family? So, write your will, and if you need pointers, guidance, let me know. We did ours almost a decade ago, so it's actually time for me to revise it, but just a small diversion. So, in terms of tools, right, so there are three things that we should focus on. The one is plan, right? So we talked about what comes between us and getting into that first quadrant of leadership and focus, planning. And from planning, you want to get to your prioritized task list. And then from there, you want to schedule it. So till you actually put it on your schedule, things won't happen. Right? One of the ways things get out of control is to say, we'll do it someday. Right? But someday never comes. And often, this itself is insufficient, so you have to be creative, right? That means you may plan a week in advance, but at the end of the week, you might find some of the things aren't done. And, you know, what do you do about it? You may have to reschedule, some things may drop off the list, whatever. But this is a cyclical thing, and as you do this over and over again, you will get really good at it. You will understand that, you know, what is effective planning? You know, how do I plan better? Because the first plan most likely won't be really very good. The second plan will get incrementally better and better. So, as they say, practice makes perfect. and talk a little bit about each of these areas. So, what exactly is planning, right? Essentially, we get our things that we do in our life fall into two broad buckets. Things that we initiate ourselves, and the things that we react to, right? And unfortunately, a lot of the things we do are the things we react to as opposed to things that we initiate. So, if you think of yourself as a funnel where things are coming on top, and the bottom of the funnel is your capacity, that is your bandwidth, that's your ability to do things. So clearly, there are more stuff on the top, and capacity is less, guess what happens? Something doesn't get done. And your job is to make sure that the more important things get done and the less important things can stay undone. So, you have to first get rid of the unnecessary stuff, right? Many years ago, I was in a seminar where there was this lady who used to run a company, I forget the name of the company. She was actually pitching for a tool that she had, but part of it was, how do we manage emails, right? I mean, often, you know, those of us whose job depends on email, we get hundreds of emails a day. And your ability to really deal with all those emails is practically nil. You can't deal with all of them. And what ends up happening is your inbox looks like a mess. You know, hundreds and hundreds of unread messages or undealt with messages. And what she was talking about is your email inbox has to look empty, meaning you've done everything with it. So how do you do it? And she was talking about this thing called the 4D rule. So what is the 4D rule? The first rule, first D is for delete. So you take care of all the unnecessary things. You know, people send you mail and you may not have anything actionable to do it. Somebody may have just sent you an FYI. How many FYIs can you deal with anyway? So if you organize your stuff correctly, then you can clearly identify the things that you don't want to do first. So if you get rid of your unnecessary stuff, that's the first D. The second D is delegate. You can't do everything yourself. And we are social beings. We live in a society where things are not done by any one individual. We don't live in an island. So whether it's a family situation or work situation or community situation or whatever else you may be, you're working as part of a group of people. And identifying who's the most logical person, who's the most person who can effectively deal with that, is key to how you delegate. Delegation itself is a topic all by itself. I'm not going deeply into this. And then understand when do we need to do this. Again, it goes back to this issue of urgency. Sometimes there are things that I don't necessarily need to do today, but as long as I know whatever the appropriate time is and I schedule it accordingly, it's part of my system because I've already taken care of it. So, talk about delete, delegate. The third thing is to defer, which is what it is. Know when to do it. If I need to do my taxes and I realize, oh, it's January, I don't need to do it now because I don't even have my W-2 with me. Right? It's going to come in January. So, somewhere between January and April 15th, I can schedule time. If it takes me 3 days to do it, I schedule 3 days to do my taxes. So, know when it's due. Keep it there. And actually, I realized I should have put this quote in a previous slide, but I was talking about when to say no. This is a quote from Gandhi. He says, a no uttered from the deepest conviction is better than a yes merely uttered to please or what it was to avoid trouble. Right? So, keep that in mind. The second thing is prioritization. So, once you figure out your what it is, then you're putting essentially a list of tasks. Now realize that any one thing that you have on your list, so if your list is do taxes, then that's not one item, that's a multiple entry task. So you have a task and you have subtasks and you have maybe subtasks. And the idea is to put them down, A, in dependency order, and two, keep the lowest level tasks in such a way that it has no dependencies, because any task that has a dependency, you can't do it. So if I have to do my taxes, I need all the paperwork first, right? So I have my statements from my bank and my employer and my broker or whoever else has to give me the paperwork. So till I get that, I can't do my taxes. So my subtask is collect paperwork. And a subtask to that may be, hey, call my broker or call my employer. So whatever it is, put them in priority order. And once you put them in priority order and go down to the first dependency, first independent item, and schedule it. And the rest you don't have to worry, because till that item is done, the next item can't be done. So once that item is done, you can come back, check it off, take the next item, schedule it, and then that's the order in which you go. The second thing is to keep the list current. Oftentimes, we have things that we have to do, but circumstances change and that's no longer a thing that I want to do. So I might decide, you know, this weekend I need to wash my car. And guess what? It starts raining. I can't wash my car, so I delete it off my list. Right? Many times, you know, things change around us. So whenever that happens, go back to your task list and either adjust the priority or move it into your schedule as it makes sense. And if something is sticking around in your list for a long, long time, then really ask yourself, is it something worth doing at all? Because if you manage to get along for 6 months without doing it, then it's probably not worth doing. Right? Not obviously, not everything falls into that category. Or if your task is look for a job, then you're not going to give up after 3 months, right? That's the next thing. And finally, you know, review and refresh your list regularly. Typically once a week, and one of the items in your task list has to be look at my task list, right? So typically at the end of the week is a good time, because you said, okay, I set these 10 things that I want to do in my week and I scheduled it. At the end of the week, I find out, oh, I've done 7, I've not done 3. Now out of that 3, maybe something was time sensitive that it's no longer relevant. So if my task was, you know, go for Eid Salat, and Eid is over, I can't go to Eid Salat, so I can't reschedule that either, right? So it's dropped off my list. But hopefully that's not a lower priority task for you. I'll get to that in a minute. Okay? So the next thing is scheduling. So once you have your task list and prioritize order and, you know, all the dependencies set and everything, then you want to put them on your calendar, because if it's not in your calendar, then two things happen. One is you can forget, and two, which is more of a problem as I experienced it, it has to live in your short-term memory. And things that live in your short-term memory creates tension, right? Because I have to keep remember, what if I forget? But once it's written down, you can let it disappear, because you know where to go to look at it. And a calendar is the right place, because you're saying, okay, this particular thing I'm going to do next Tuesday at 10 a.m. So put it on your calendar, 10 a.m., I'm going to do that thing. Things will never get done someday. Either it will get done when you want it to get done, or it will stay on your list for a long, long time. So this myth of I'll get to it sometime, avoid it. That's a clear-cut way of letting things stay and leads to procrastination. The third thing is you have to schedule realistically. If something is going to take a day, you said, no, I'll get it done in a couple of hours, well, it's not going to happen in a couple of hours. If it needs a day, it's going to need a day. So make sure that you're doing it in such a way that you both allocate realistic time, as well as you're doing it at a time where you don't have conflict. So you're not doing it in a way that, you know, I have to leave at work at 9 in the morning and I've scheduled it at 8. Not going to happen. So picking the right time and right block of time is very important. And like I said, you know, update your calendar weekly. So typically, things that you schedule way out, you know, go back and make sure that they are scheduled realistically. And as we talked about, you know, the planning cycle, the planning, prioritization, scheduling, and go back over again, it's important as well. So, having said all this, what are the tools available to us? Clearly, you know, there are many, many ways in which you can do this. Things were done way back when people were chiseling stuff on a stone, all the way to modern gadgetry we have where all sorts of stuff is available. So you can have, you know, you can have your paper-based stuff. You know, I've seen many people who have a printed calendar hung on a wall and they actually write it down. It works for them. It doesn't work for me particularly well. I'm more of a guy who relies on my electronic tools, but to each his own. So then you can have tools, and even if you look at your information gadgets today, whether it's your computer or your cell phone or your organizer, there are many different tools. So I can share what works for me, but again, it's not a one-size-fits-all. You have to look at what really works for you. Look for solutions that are integrated, meaning that I don't have to go to five different tools to find one tool for planning, another for prioritization, third for scheduling. If you do that, you're more likely to fail. So look at solutions that are integrated, that if I generate something that's easy for me to move a task from a list of tasks to a calendar, and that calendar can generate reminders for me, right? So such an integrated tool is preferable, and a lot of people use it. The key thing really is to be realistic. So don't try to you know, take this all in one big soup, because you have to take, you know, there's this concept of crawl, walk, and then run. So the key thing here is discipline. You can really try and overdo this, try to do too much too soon, or that is generally a good recipe for failure. So at the end of the day, you know, the tools that have worked for me, as you all know, I work for Microsoft, a lot of the tools I use are Microsoft tools. Outlook actually is a very, very good tool because it integrates tasks, it integrates calendar, it integrates email, and a lot of my stuff that is work-related, and sometimes even my personal stuff that I work, you know, even things like this, I actually got it through email and I put it on my calendar. So it's an integrated solution that allows me to do this effectively. The other thing that I would also point out is whenever you create a task, make sure that all the things that you need for that particular task are in one place. So to give you an example, let's say that I have a task where I have to call my accountant about taxes. And for that, I need to maybe have my last year's taxes with me. I need to have my bank statements. I need to have my W-2, etc. So if those are available in electronic form, then I'll put it in my appointment itself. So Outlook allows me to keep any kind of documents along with my calendar. So the moment that reminder comes and I open my calendar, all the things that I need, including my accountant's phone number, is right there. Right? So I don't have to, right at that event when the reminder comes, I'm not scrambling to find the information I need. Right? So I'm sure there are a lot of questions and I'll be happy to answer them. So I'll open them to questions. You had a question, Adam?
Oh, that schedule. You know, where are you going to keep it handy for all this week? As you said, you might be having a calendar on the wall.
Today, almost everybody carries a cell phone, and cell phones, other than the very simple cell phones, allow you to synchronize your calendar with your phone. So you can do it either over the air or hook it up to your PC and synchronize your calendar. So my calendar is here. It's in my pocket. Right? If you keep a paper calendar, you can keep it small. You know, you get these little appointment books. And I've seen many people carry that in their pocket as well. But in one case, I'm dependent on this beeping when an appointment comes, and the other things I have to have a discipline of taking it out and opening it and reviewing it maybe two or three times a day. Yeah, so Outlook allows me to do that. So I can take a task and I can drop the task onto the calendar. Drag and drop, that's all I do.
So
right
into the calendar you can see.
Exactly. So once that thing is done, now you can use many tools. So one of the things Outlook allows you to do is to color code your events. So any events that's done, I can change it to green, right? For example, or things that I've decided not to do, I can turn it to red, whatever I do. So at the end of the end of the week, when I look at my calendar for the week,
right,
I can look at all the greens, and then I can go back to my task and check it off. And done, 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 done. And whatever's red, oh, I didn't do it. And out of those, I can decide, oh, these, I'm not going to do it anymore because they were time critical. So they're gone. Now, that leaves the things that I need to reschedule. So now you take it and drop it onto somewhere next week that you plan to do. So it's very seamless, that is. You're using a particular pattern. So green to you may mean done, green to me may mean something else, but I can right click and, you know, I can choose a color, and that I can even put a label to that color. So I can choose color green, and color green means done. Right? So even in my appointments, I normally color code events saying, okay, these are things that I do every week. So I meet with my direct reports every week, so I color code it one way. Or I'm meeting with my VP, that's important, I can't change it because it was scheduled sufficiently advanced. So this is a group event that, if time permits, I will go. So those are what I call optional events. So if I have nothing better to do, I'll go there, but if something more important comes in, I'll drop it. So I have my own system of color coding. You know, it may work differently for you, but try it out if you
want. But do you have also, I just want to refer, in the calendar, did you link to document that you store in your...
You don't even have to link, you can actually drop the document in your calendar.
Into the calendar?
Yeah. So when I open it, it's right in front of me, I double click the document and...
How big it is, though?
It doesn't matter, it can be megabytes. You can drop even your, you know, the contact entry. So,
right,
your contact of the person that you want to call, you can drop right there in your calendar as well. So you don't even have to search. Oh, I have to call Brother Ahmad. You know, what is Brother Ahmad's number? I don't know, but it can be right there in your entry. Absolutely. It is easily available. It's not particularly cheap though. So it's not sold separately. You have to buy Office for it. So it's part of Office.
It's not Outlook Express. It's just Outlook.
Just Outlook. There is no Outlook Express anymore. It's gone.
Is Outlook Express gone?
Yeah. XP was the last release for which. Yeah. But its replacement is there. It's called Live Mail Client. That's free as well.
Your mail that Hotmail he's saying go to use your Hotmail scalper.
You don't have Hotmail.
What? The, my question is now, if I, for in case, I'm just, you brought it good, that always was a question for me. If I go use my Outlook calendar, and I put my information in there, is that, that's, Outlook is belong to the Microsoft, whoever owns the Hotmail, and the calendar belong to them, they'll be able to access to my documents and
stuff? Well, anytime your information is in the cloud, then whoever owns that part of the cloud has access. But think of it this way, Outlook, Hotmail has what, over 1 million mailboxes. So I don't think anybody has time to actually go look into people's calendars
well,
to see what they have.
It's not a matter,
yeah.
It's not a matter of the time, because when you get to the computers, I can read 100 mails right, you know, this way, and just the storage in my book, and I just later on I get into it and say, okay, this is that guy's mail, that guy's mail. But
I mean, if you're...
So
if you're particular,
they actually have the access, but they don't have because the volume of the.
Not only that, they, you know, they have a like, as Ali said, they also have a privacy policy. So, if they do things like that, they'll lose business because there are other competing things. So I can go from Hotmail to Yahoo to Google or wherever. Yeah, you don't need to.
That's on your desktop.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, in my desktop.
But if you use, let's say, a Hotmail email address, and Hotmail would see it, but it's on your desktop.
Oh, is that right? Okay, the one is in the my desktop.
Yeah, so the one that's in the upload stuff with the title, but anything that's also on Hotmail will update it.
I have a question. You can ask. No, many options.
The second or third slide where you had, you know, those four.
Right.
You can go back. I just want to understand that a little bit more. So basically, it's so the stuff which falls between not urgent and important is leadership and focus.
Yeah. Because you're trying to do things at your schedule. So, for example, let's take doing taxes. If I let it wait till April 14th, then it becomes urgent, right? I know it's important. I can't not do my taxes. I have to. So it is important, but I can make it urgent or I can make it not urgent. If I do it sooner, if I schedule it, say, 2 weeks ahead of time, then it's not urgent. I have the time to do it. I can do it at my time, at my pace. But if I wait till April the 14th, now it's urgent. So I'm in a managed situation, not leadership situation. Now clearly there are some things that you may not be able to control, right? So you can't completely avoid it. But the bottom two things you can avoid, and in fact you must avoid. So get rid of the bottom two, move most of the stuff to the left. There will be some to the right which will never go away. But as long as you can minimize it, you are in better control of yourself.
So the most of stuff is urgent, so how to manage it, be able to put set back into the leadership.
Right, so you know, this area mostly happens when we let it to happen, most of the time, not all the time. But we need to move stuff here. Right? So one way to do it is to plan early. One way to do it is to not procrastinate. You know, those are some of the tools to move stuff from the left side.
Are there any tools that allow you to procrastinate?
You You don't need tools to procrastinate.
That was my next question, you know. How to rather avoid that?
Yeah.
What are the tips for the suffering?
You're in the wrong
PhD
class.
Well, it's essentially laziness, right? Procrastination is nothing but laziness. So, you know, in favor of procrastination, as somebody said, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. So that's one way to procrastinate. But
so basically, you are saying that this quadrant, you know, left, top left, that's the ideal situation. So you are basically, then you are, you know, you are in control of things.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, many apusle, many apusle.
My question is a little bit non-technical, like if you have 24 hours and out of 24, we have 16 hours a day and from 16 hours you need to get like manage your 16 hours and you have to put like 8 hours for your work stuff and then rest of like 8 hours you have to put like family and your personal and then your social time. So how did you manage that?
Again, at the end of the day, I mean, if you take the labels away, right? So as you said, out of 24 hours, let's say you sleep 8, then you take another 2, which goes into eating and, you know, shower and whatever, right? Things that must be done. So that's 10 hours gone. Out of the 14, let's say you work 8 hours a day, right? Now, even that 8 hours may not be sufficient to do all that your work demands, right? So the same techniques you have to apply in your work situation too, right? So that leaves 6 hours. And out of 6 hours, let's say 1 hour goes in your commute, right? 5 hours left. And in 5 hours, you have to give time to your family, you have to come to the center, and you have to do your shopping, and whatever else you have to do. At the end of the day, the same exact rules apply. What is important? What's more important? What's less important? When can I do it? Do I have to do it today? Can I defer it to tomorrow? Can I ask somebody else to do it for me? Right? Same questions come up. So
all of our stuff, land, air, you manage that?
Excuse me?
All like our social obligations comes and manage, we cannot?
No, you can put this too, right? So if I know, for example, that, you know, I have to come for Sunday school is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I can't schedule anything else during that time because that time is already taken, right? So I've not put it here because if I schedule something else, I now have to manage because there's two overlapping things there. But if there's no overlapping things, I've actually put my Sunday school stuff. I've put it, you know, here. But let's say something more important comes in, right? So I have to call Brother Hamid and say, sorry, I can't come today, you know, and I'll talk to somebody else to take my class because something more important than
and
this will
come. It
will if I don't help him out. But if I say, look, you know, I've already talked to, let's say, my wife and say she's willing to take my class, then
everything for me is in the manager. If he's good in saying no,
that's very good point. Learn to say no.
It doesn't necessarily mean learn to say no is not so that I become a hard person to deal with, okay? So I am saying no to things that are not important.
So what happened to the people, they are doing some urgent, right? And suddenly some urgent is coming to the top of it. Is that something that they have to manage to get through?
I mean, sometimes your job may be such that you are more in the situation. Think of a fireman, right? A fireman cannot plan, he cannot be here, right? So he's waiting, when the call comes, he has to hop onto the truck and drive as fast as he can. So he's living here, but that's part of his job. Now he doesn't, and he gets to do shifts. So there are times when somebody else is manning the station, and unless something really big happens that even that shift cannot handle and you get onto an urgent call, then the rest of your time here. You're only on the job is here. Or if you're a doctor, and you can be in a call even on your off day, so you are in in the marriage situation quite a bit, because you're on a call. You're carrying a beeper and you can get called anytime. Okay? So, again, you know, it depends on the nature of your work, whether your work is mostly in this situation or not.
So basically, you have to push everything to the village in your focus and wait for some emergency coming, and then you'll be able to...
You never wait for an emergency, you just deal with an emergency.
Happen,
right?
You know, accidents happen,
yeah.
And you don't know what is going to come in the next minutes, the next hours. So you'll be ready for an emergency to see what is
Yeah, that's the whole point. You want to control things as opposed to let the things control you. Right? That's the whole point. It's doable. Actually, I think some of these public things like, you know, Hotmail, Yahoo, and Google allow you to share calendars. But you have to say, okay, share it with this person, but not with this person. And I can say, share this part of my calendar. So I may actually have an event, but I don't want to tell everybody what that event is. So I just simply put an event saying, block between or busy between this hour and this hour. And so everybody sees it as busy but don't really know what I'm doing there. Right?
Anything from the sisters? Any question from the sisters?
I don't think people procrastinate because they do so much. People tend to procrastinate because it's an easy way out. Well, I'm not a psychologist, but generally people tend to avoid things which are not fun. If the thing doesn't give you pleasure, if the thing doesn't give you happiness, if it's painful, if I have to take out weeds in my backyard, it's never a fun thing to do. So I'll put it off, maybe some other day. Right? So that's one reason people procrastinate, is because that particular thing is not pleasurable. Yes, I believe that Vishan said yes. Give me a specific guideline as to what, how would you like to see it, and I'll attempt to put it in a simpler format. It has to be structured very differently for kids, because the concepts are still the same, but you have to speak to them in a different language. And it's the same thing, you know, if you look at why kids put up their homework and want to see TV, exactly that reason, right? Homework is painful, watching TV is fun. And we do it too. Kids do it and we do it. The form may be different, but the essence is the same, right? We do it exactly for the same reason. So, I think we are getting close to Salah time, and so if there are additional things we want to discuss after Salah, I'll be happy to.
Thank you.